Welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worship. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the 7 days in a week, a.k.a. Fortnite, the KevinMiller.com. Jump press circle button, Kevin.
I believe it's 14 days.
You think it's 14 is the Fortnite?
A fortnight is 2 weeks.
I believe that you would be correct.
Yeah, it's from Shakespeare, a fortnight, because in Hamlet he talks about being gone for a fortnight.
Or and being it was a 2 weeks? I always thought it was a week.
Because
but you know what I'm getting? Four score and 7 years ago.
Four score is 4 decades.
Okay.
And 7 years ago. So it's 47 years earlier.
All right.
Is what that refers
to. Just go home and Google.
I don't need to. You don't need Google. I remember things that happen in history.
Yeah, but I feel like we should verify the Fortnite assessment. I mean, I'd be more than welcome. Here's the thing. We have lots of things that are part of what I like to call the lore of the show, right?
Yeah,
so
we
could just decide that on this show, a Fortnite is 14 days.
Well,
then it's a done deal. Now, if it happens to coincide with the real Fortnite, then more power to it.
I also like being validated, so go
all
ahead.
Right. Okay, well then,
you're
smart enough, and gosh darn it, people
and
like
I know
you.
Math. We didn't have a show last week, and I had like 9 things that I was like, okay, yeah, we'll talk. I'm going to talk about that right in the beginning, because it'll be really great. And now I can't remember any of them.
Oh, well done, Kevin. So, used after the name of a day to indicate that something will take place 2 weeks after that day.
Ah, a fortnight.
A fortnight.
And I believe it was because that was the tour of duty you would run in the military at the time.
14 days?
Yeah. Like you would be on the wall for 14 days or something.
These guys listen to this show in the military. They got a bum deal, it sounds.
This was centuries ago.
Yeah.
Whatever is after a score. I don't know why he said 4 score. I never looked that up. Mm-hmm. If he's like 4 score, I don't know if a score was a term.
All he's got to do is Google.
At the time, meaning decades. Because why don't we say that? Man, I'm 3 scores old. How great would that
be? I want to make that a thing. Let's see. So a score is a decade?
Yeah.
So I'm almost 4 scores.
Almost 4 scores.
I'm 3 scores and 9 years ahead.
A pence of a tickle.
A pence
and a wink of a trough.
And a fortnight. A fun.
Math is so hard.
Say,
so have you been playing 2 weeks?
Score. No, I've not been playing 2 weeks, but I've been watching. It's so weird. You mentioned it right before we hit record, is that there was somebody who said, hey, are you guys into Fortnite? Neither one of us really knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden I know what it is because the phenomenon has caught up with the 30-something-year-olds in my head.
That's probably true.
And my son, the way it did was my son has a friend who does like a Twitch.
Mm.
And I got to be honest, this kid is pretty entertaining.
Yeah. How many followers?
I have nowhere near. He's no KevinMiller.com. Okay. But point is that he at least at 9 years old is aware of,
the audience.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of Twitchers aren't. I've gotten into it now that I'm Twitching. I kind of participate in the community. Sometimes if I'm Photoshopping or whatever, I'll just have it on. And there are people that don't say anything. There's just
watch
there's
play
a camera
game.
On them, and they're like,
No, this guy does a show. In fact, I like it when he apologizes because this is boring. Like, and then he showed like
I have
one
that
of them,
same instinct.
He's building a Minecraft world, and his dad is a Bears fan, so he's a Chicago Bears fan. So he built Soldier Stadium or Soldier Field, whatever. He's built that in Minecraft world,
it's
and
Fortnite.
He's building a gate and all that stuff. No, he was building a Minecraft.
No, it's Fortnite. The name of the stadium is Fortnite.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point made by you. But what I seem to like about, I don't know because I haven't played it, but what I think I like about this Fortnite game is that, according to my son, is every time you start, it's like starting anew.
That's right.
And then if you get killed, you lose everything.
That's right. And so that's why I think
it's like the Oasis.
It does well because it's a neutralizer. Unlike games like Battlefront.
You okay?
Yeah. Disgusting games.
Oh, duty. Well, yeah. I got it too. Oh, my gosh.
Yay.
Oh, Medal of Honor.
These games that make you pay to play to get weapons and gear, and then it's still in Battlefront. You get spawned and you're finally near the action, and you're dead, and you look and they show you that tiny little little red dot on the other side of the map, the guy that sniped you.
He's been playing Battlefront like 3 years longer.
It just makes me want to take the disc out and snap it in half and throw it in the garbage disposal.
Every time I saw a guy with what looked to be like a micro rave happening on his automatic assault rifle.
Fortnite, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm saying in Call of
Duty. Oh, in Call of Duty. Oh, he got a little there.
Call of Duty.
Got a little on it.
Call of Duty. There's a little bit of too much duty in the Call of Duty.
Every time I would see that, where it's just like, you know, it's boop, but it's just like the design of the gun, and it makes me angry because I'm like, how is that like supposed to help you hide? Like, why, you know what I mean? Like,
back in my day, we played SOCOM, and you had to blend in with the trees if you wanted to live.
Like the Golden State Killer.
Oh
topical. A year ago, that'd have been like, oh, funny.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
No, too soon. Yeah. Too soon.
I'm still playing my Assassin's Creed.
Where are you in that?
I don't know where I am.
Mm-hmm. Your son doesn't tell you?
No. Well, I know I'm at level 35 because he hates it. I don't know. It's so funny. He's 9 years old. I don't know why I became Christopher Walken.
There's been a lot of guest stars.
A lot of guests. Listen, guys, I don't know these video games, but I like to play them. Sometimes I become the character.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Really good. Really good.
He seems to be very confused by the idea that I could just pick up the controller and through focused gameplay, through missions, advance past him. Because they run around. They do this stupid crap where they kill civilians. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
And then,
I don't.
That's not the point of that game,
no.
though.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But they're kids.
Yeah.
It's like a playground.
What are you going to do?
You get to see it.
Jack has reached level 24 just by hunting hippopotamus. That's all. I swear to God. That kid is the worst.
I was not prepared for that. I didn't know there were hippopotami in that game.
Why? That's how you get hard leather to craft.
So many questions. Oh, okay. So there is a reason.
Yeah. And so you have to, and he just.
There must be an easier way than to actually play the game than to do that. Why would you grind to get hippopotami kills?
I don't know, but I'm curious to see. It's like a social experiment watching these kids play because
they put that stuff in the game just to draw, like just to create reasons to keep playing.
Or does it to like make the whole game a resistance pool?
Yeah.
Like instead of sprinting through it,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean that was something I was going to mention later during Tales of Tyria, but that's what I've discovered with Guild Wars is just how damn deep that game is. Like the number of things, and that's what they do. You just create like a little extra quest that has like seven more steps to it. And they can be very easy, just says, get here. And if you make the prize at the end of the tunnel worth doing, then there will be enough people like your son that are like, I'll pour 10 hours down the drain to get the hippopotami skin.
And this is interesting to me because I'm just now realizing that this could be possibly the most rewarding Assassin's Creed game, and I think, you know how, I think it was Matthew who posed this question to us a while ago, and it might have even been off the air, but it's like, what is the most important aspect to a game? Like, how do we prioritize game elements?
Yeah, I think that was on air. Yeah,
and I think we both agreed it was like story, and then second was gameplay, right? Well, what I'm realizing is that in this expansive world, even though for the most part, a lot of the missions are, to a certain extent, basically the same, but because this world seems so vast, it kind of sucks me into it a little bit better. They did a really good job of that this go round. Because the other one, sure, you would go to different lands and that would kind of happen. Yeah. But there was sandbox seemed very island-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, it's like you have all of North Africa at your disposal.
Really? So wider than Arkham City.
Yes.
What's the last one? Arkham Knights? What's the last game?
I want to say Arkham City. I think that's
That's the second one because it was Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and then there was like Arkham third party developer, and then Arkham. I think it's Arkham Knight
Yeah, it is.
And then spoiler, who the Arkham Knight was that game.
Yeah,
still put that game
that
in.
That game is great
just to drive around and play with the car because I mean that first game in Arkham City where you're like, oh, there are missions except for they're going to be guest starred with villains that I love. And then to do it in that of like, there's this entire world that I can just drive around in and solve mysteries. Gosh, that's such a solid game.
That's my favorite game.
Really? Yeah. That's quite a statement.
That just happened. Like I was just now, I'm looking at this, and other people have asked also on the show, like, what's your favorite game? And I don't know what I answered then, but I'm making it this now. I really like this game a lot.
Yeah. When was the last time you played it?
Years. That's what I mean.
Put it in.
But I don't know. I think
Twitch it. Twitch it, my friend.
Here's the real test. Followers. I have gotten off of the bandwagon of selling games when I'm finished.
Yes. Because you have kids now.
The real test is, do I have this sitting still to touch again?
I'm going to say yes.
I did hang on to, but Uncharted, I love so much too because of Nolan North. I did hang on to Uncharted unnecessarily amount of, like, that's a game where you've played the story. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know.
In my opinion, I know there's online stuff you can do, but I did it and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm good.
Done.
But I still love it. And I like you the idea it. Of like.
Four? Uncharted 4?
Oh, yeah. I don't
can
know
I borrow
if I still
that?
Have it. I think if I have it, yes.
I'm pretty sure I do.
I may or may not have recently. But what I'm saying is that other games will sit in my collection,
yes.
and I'll be like, I gotta get rid of that. I'm done with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that one, I would see it, I'd be like, oh, I just tuck that away.
Yeah,
like that's not going anywhere. But even though I know I wouldn't really pick it up and play it again, pick that up and play again. I think now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, especially this.
I'm
late
staring
in the
down
console.
The barrel of some surgery. Maybe I say I'm more laid up than I'm supposed to be, and I just take a good 2 weeks off and just
especially you got
fall
this
into
game.
A deep dark hole of Uncharted and Arkham Asylum
and Assassin's Creed and Destiny 2. Oh, you should probably play best Destiny 2.
Oh man,
it's a pretty great game.
How far into it are you now?
I think I'm nearing the last map.
I really want you to go. I think I'm done.
That's a game that is a little like those games in that you don't pour money, you pour hours.
Yeah.
So if you pour hours into it, you're going to have some really sweet gear, and that become the competitive PvP stuff becomes a little difficult to swallow. But I'll tell you, that's the first game that I actually was like, oh, I think I can do this PvP stuff. And I'm actually wearing Destiny right now.
I didn't notice that until you pointed out.
I forgot because I was going to say we went to E3 and I was like, we need to go see this game. And I made us sit in that room for 3 hours, which I still regret to this day.
Why? I loved it.
3 hours. It was like being in jail.
No, you're saying that in hindsight.
In the moment, I wanted to leave so bad. I was like,
"Oh, really?" Then,
yeah.
I was fine the whole time because this game, Destiny, at that E3 was the thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was the thing, and so for us to walk out of there would be stupid.
Yeah, that's true. And I still get compliments.
Was that the same year as the Mario? Because that was the other one. Mario Galaxy was coming out.
Yeah, I think so.
And they had
that,
remember
not
that
Galaxy,
whole display?
Mario Maker.
Maker, is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember that display was incredible.
Yeah, there was a lot going on at E3. But when we played that, later when it was released, I was like, I've always been intimidated by PvP, but there was something about that first-person shooter and the way that game was designed. Maybe it was because the PS4's controller was designed to play Destiny or vice versa. But now I can pick up Overwatch, and I'm not a master. I'm none of those Call of Duty guys, but I feel like I can hold my own.
I hope this bit stays a long time.
It's never going.
I hope
never
so.
Going away.
I'm very pleased with it. I can't wait for more games to make us nauseous.
Or titillated.
Oh.
Arkham Knight. But so it helped me in my Guild Wars 2 PvP play that's always been a game that I'm good at PvE playing against the environment. But then suddenly I was like, oh, I get it. Like responding to another human being. So
now in the MMR world, I feel like if you're playing PvP, you could just be kind of roaming around and all of a sudden you're dead.
It depends on the mode. Okay. There are definite like 5-on-5 matches in Guild Wars 2. So you can be like, go head to head, these 5 or these 6-against-6. They have a couple different like standoff modes and then capture the flag and all that. But then on the side, they have a thing called World v World, in which it used to be servers, but now it's just sort of like groups. You compete against another server, essentially. So they have these maps that are specifically designed for World v World, and there are locations that you and everyone from your server try to hold, and then other members from other servers try to take different areas.
That is incredible.
And I should have been mentioning this all this time, because it's been at launch. And so if there's a ton of people from one server on, they can like start to take over the whole map. And then people on your server will tell you, hey, we need help in World v. World. Stop playing the private game. Get in here and help conquer the map back for us. And so you can eventually push everybody back to just like a corner and you can control it. And then every week it restarts and you play against two different servers. So it's a three server match each week, and there's like 20, I think, or something.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. So you can be, to answer your question, you can be roaming around. If you're an idiot and you go by yourself, you'll come across literally 100 players coming at you, and they'll just wipe you out. But if you're holding the fort and the other team is on the move, you could see a 200 versus 200 person match.
That's incredible.
And then just waves of, you die, and then just waves of people roll over your head.
How long do you have to wait to respawn, and are you back
if
there?
Someone comes and grabs you, they can respawn. They can resurrect you.
Oh, so you're stuck there unless somebody resurrects
you. Or you can go to a response point and try to run back into the battle. It depends on where you are and what's happening.
Well, I feel like it's been enough time since the movie came out. How would you resist if the Oasis were real?
Oh, Ready Player. I thought you were going to talk about Avengers.
No. Not there yet.
Too soon.
Not there yet. How would you resist the urge to just stay in that? Like, I feel like I would be pretty decent at not having to, like, leave my life. But I do think it would very easily become like a casino where it's like you don't know how many hours invested in it.
So you're saying in the world of Ready Player One, if I could step into Guild Wars, how long would I be there?
Well, no, I'm saying, like, to me, the idea of the Oasis, like, I just have stumbled into this idea for me personally that if you have an expansive world... Mm-hmm. With some fun gameplay, then great. But what if your world is so expansive that there are multiple games within that world?
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And other elements. Like, you could socialize, you could educate yourself, all of that.
That's the magic of an MMORPG and why it's available. So that brings us to the next topic. Do we still have time?
We can.
Get it? The next topic? Do you get it?
No.
The next topic?
Next.
No? Man? No. Sky? Next? Topic?
Am I the victim of a bit?
You are, apparently. No Man's Sky's next upgrade is called Next.
Oh. Clever girl. Oh, I have that
crashed
somewhere.
Your brain. Crashed
you did crash my brain.
So,
May the force be with you.
Nope, thank you. Thank you. To catch you up, if you remember, No Man's Sky released 2 years ago. It really upset millennials at the lack of follow through from all the hype. People will say very horrible things about Sean something or other for his creation of it. And you know,
that dude's name is.
It's gotten better. You know, you could do a Google search now. No Man's Sky is now good. Did you ever play No Man's Sky? It's sort of like what 1 hour, one life is, but obviously in a giant, epic, sprawling, procedurally generated universe, right? So you show up at planets and it generates the planet and then you just survive, right? That was the basic game. But everybody was upset because there were so many features that they promised and under-delivered on. But instead of abandoning it, they've pressed through. And so they've released two expansions, one in which you got to build your own base and build stuff so you could actually colonize a world. And then they actually added a storyline to it. So now there's like mysteries to solve and quests to go on. In one of the expansions, they added a light multiplayer environment where you, because originally you were supposed to be able to play with people and create like a universe of players. That didn't happen. And instead, if you saw other players, they're just floating orbs, like sort of like a really low MMORPG where you're like, I just know there's another avatar there, but you're not even bothering.
More like a ghost than anything.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what Next is. Now you can play with your friends and with all of these tools. And the sky's the limit. So they said you can dogfight, you can pirate, you can go and build a colony of your own with your own friends or with people. And then, you know, build a civilization inside the science fiction universe and welcome
just
other people
in it.
Or just go off and destroy people. So I know teenagers that love this game and young kids that love this game because it's not violent. You know, you blow up robots and stuff and sometimes little creatures will attack you or whatever. But no doubt that they have taken this time to build these like colonies on their own that are like Minecrafty. And immediately what I thought is now there could be just raiding parties that go around planet to planet and methodically look for stuff to steal because that's now what the game is. And they're going to find kids that have built stuff and just demolish it, just destroy it because they can. That's immediately what I thought of. So maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's an ability to
put... I think a lot of people hope so.
That's what they hope. That, right? They want what you saw in One Hour, One Life of like, I want to be a murderer. I want to be a pirate. That's immediate with people. I want a dogfight. There's no like in Star Wars where you can either join the light or the dark, or, you know, join an affiliate, or there's national, or even in Guild Wars where
there's
like...
more gray areas, yeah, not black or white.
Exactly. At least in the game, there would be a reason, like, I'm with this faction and we're trying to achieve this thing. No, it's just I made a friend and we're going to do this thing and we're going to blow up other planets. Hey, and guess what? Now I kill my friend. I take all his gear. Unfriend in PlayStation.
I have
your hyperdrive.
What are the chances of you being able to sleep at night if you're that person?
Like
you personally.
See, I think that's it, that you can disassociate yourself from the game so much that you're like, haha, I'm a troll. I'm a really nice person, though.
Yeah.
In real life, I would never do that. But Lord knows that we've invested so much energy into this digital reality matters more to me than what happens in my actual front yard.
I struggle with displacing my own views accidentally on my kids because I would never, like they love like just riding through the town, and if they see a person, just randomly chop them with their sword and kill them, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, "Why would that's not okay?"
Yeah.
And they look at me like it's not real. I'm like, who cares? And then I accidentally throw a log on the fire by it getting a reaction out of me too.
I go,
why would you want to be a mean guy? Like,
how I felt after playing Infamous for the first time.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, it does.
Well, that part I can embrace.
You know, being a supervillain.
Yeah, well, when it's black or white, I could totally embrace that. Yeah, but for me, talking about One Hour, One Life, just roaming around,
especially other
people,
players,
ending hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, especially that's where it's messed up. I think you would have something to say if your children were running around and murdering other players.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be like, well, that's messed up. That guy spent all that time and now he doesn't have his gear or whatever, right? There'd be consequences.
Yeah, because there is a real consequence to that. You're ruining somebody's long, especially if it's an adult.
Yeah.
I would be,
good morality.
Ironically, in One Hour, One Life, I would be more comfortable with my kids murdering babies than a grown person.
Sure.
Because there's less invested.
And I think that's kind of the accidental lesson of One Hour, One Life is that sometimes...
Or the real intent.
We can't keep... Yeah, it's actually a socialist. Oh, we never checked his political affiliations. Oh, no! Hey, let's play some Stump when we come
back.
I
love this idea. Sing it. You coming through. They took the credit for your second symphony. That's good stuff.
It's like the Electric Light Parade right there.
Yeah.
It's good. I think that's on purpose. Yeah.
Here it comes.
What did you tell them?
You didn't have to make sense in the 80s.
It's like, you've been shamed. What did you tell them? How did you let them know that your career was robbed by a box?
Oh, gosh. That was a great time.
Studio!
Do you think we look back at the 80s because they were prosperous or just because everybody looks at their childhood as prosperous?
I recently was watching a video about No Man's Sky, which was cut by somebody probably in their early 20s, and they kept putting these interstitials with cartoons and television from late 90s, early 2000s, and they would put it in black and white and be kind of ironic. And I thought, those shows suck and they're old. They're not that old. And I was like, oh, but it's nostalgia for him. That's for him. So it doesn't. They look at the stuff that we look at, like Transformers and G.I. Joe, the way that we looked at, I don't know, Scooby-Doo or the Flintstones for older brothers to us, right? Like, yeah. I have an older stepbrother, who's 8 years older than me, and he had Peachy folders. And there's so much love around Peachy folders.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, those are dumb. But to Gen Xers, they're like, Peachy folders are where it's at, bro. And you're like, no, it's all about Trapper Keeper. And now it's all about iPads.
All right. So we're going to play Stump. I'm going to grab this person here.
We need two. We're going to do...
We need two people?
We're going to do a make your own Stump.
All right. Here we go. I got two people in here now.
Who's in here with us?
We got Carter Boy and JP Pika.
JP Pika.
Whoa.
JP.
Oh,
JP.
What's up?
How do I say your name?
JP8K.
Huh?
JP8K.
Oh, so it's a literal name, JP8K.
Yes.
JP8K?
We can't even go JP8000, something cool, like you're a Doppler radar?
Yes, actually, that's what I'm named after, the Roland JP8000. But yeah.
I like this guy. And who's our other friend?
It's me, Carter.
Hi, Carter. Thanks for coming onto the show.
Thanks for having me.
Have you guys been listening to the show for long?
His thanks for having me was very much.
Yeah.
No, I was working on some music. I decided, why not join the stump queue?
Ah, thanks. Are you a new listener then, JP8000?
8,000.
8,000. Sorry.
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
I am.
Great.
So
in Stump, the rule of Stump is every week it's different. So This week it's going to be, the different thing is going to be that it's the same as last time.
Oh,
so,
got it.
I did that. All right. So what's going to happen is that we're all going to give a trivia question to the group. Your objective is to get two or one person to get it right. You don't want all three people to get it right, making it like a super easy question, like who's a blue hedgehog that jumps through hoops? And you don't want to make it impossible, like what is the left pixel on the 42nd screen of Mario Brothers? So nothing like that. Where no one can answer.
Do I get a bonus point if I can answer either of those two questions?
Yes. In fact, we will stop that. Deal.
Well played, Carter. Well played.
All right. I'm going to show you how it's played, and then we'll tally points at the end and see who wins. So here's our trivia question. I want to know, what game did Sid Meier create? Justin, what game did Sid Meier create?
SimCity,
good. And Doppler 8000?
Oh, Sid Meier's, you said Sid Meier's, right? Civilization.
Civilization and Carter?
Civilization, I think.
Two of you are correct. Thank you, Justin, for getting that wrong.
Dang it. Who's the guy that did SimCity?
Will Wright.
Oh,
very nice. And
close.
What game did Chris Sawyer make?
Chris Sawyer?
Yeah.
Huckleberry Finn.
No, guys, let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3. Roller Coaster Tycoon. Come on, what's up?
Yeah.
How do you not know that?
I love that game.
It's a delay. There's a delay.
Whatever. All right. Justin, you want to go next or you want the guys to go?
Let's let the guys go.
All right. Carter, what is your question?
My question, geez. I guess I should have thought about that, huh?
Yeah, well, it's hard.
Well, no.
All right, Doppler 8000, while Carter racks his brain.
No.
I'm going to call him Roland.
I have to think of something really fast. What is a game where you play as an Elvian person and you go into the future?
Ooh, you're an Elvian person and you go into the future. Elvian person and you go into the future.
My guess is Zelda.
Oh, that's good.
Very close, very close.
Oh, very close. You're going to give hints?
Zelda to the Day of Tomorrow.
I'm going to say
Ocarina of Time is the only thing I can think of as well.
It's a PlayStation game. It's on the PlayStation 2.
You keep giving hints. Like, that's not in the rules. What's wrong with you? PlayStation 2, Ape Escape. All right. Who got it right?
No one.
Go easier, jerk.
Carter, I know it.
What is it?
What was it?
It was Jack and Daxter, Jack 2.
You know, I was going to guess Jack and Daxter because he's got the elves, but I didn't think he was an elf.
Yeah, he's a Snazzy elf here, so.
All right.
Oh, well.
It's your question.
I mean, fair enough.
All right, Carter.
Yes, I have one now.
Go for it.
Okay. Carter's energy is all around great.
High 100%.
Oh, boy. What is the name? What does the acronym stand for? That is the name of the most powerful gun in most of the Ratchet and Clank games.
Oh, that's good.
Rip you a new one.
I know one.
Okay.
I know one.
I guess we should let Justin go last, just to be fair, because he finally knows one. It's an acronym in what series, Ratchet and Clank?
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to say it's the BAMF, the badass. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay. What about Justin?
I was going to go BFG.
Oh, yeah. And what does that stand for?
Big effing gun.
Yep. Okay.
Well.
No, wait. Doppler 8000.
Yeah,
I said rhino, rip me a new one.
That is correct.
Oh, really?
Did Doppler get it right?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yes. It's the rhino, R-Y-N-O, rip you.
Oh, that's right.
Too far off, though, because of Doom had the BFG, as did Insomniac Games' first game, which was Disruptor. Which had the Zodiac.
We need to have you on the show more often.
But so you know more trivia about my trivia than I
do. Don't step on my drops, asshole.
Justin, so far, myself and Carter are winning. So can you join us in the elite?
Let's see. But I've got to.
My guess is no.
His answer is no. All right.
I forgot where my drop was.
He's gonna find a drop. He's gonna find the perfect drop for this situation.
All right, Jerkosauruses. There is a player in the Madden lore that is deemed so good that he is supernatural when he was introduced into the video game. Now, I'm not talking about a guy who plays it online. Wins the Super Bowl. I'm talking about an NFL player that when he was introduced into the man game, it was like impossible.
I've already failed.
I actually was
this is what I'm banking on.
I don't know
you,
football at all.
Oh, damn it, Carter.
I actually was thinking about this morning. His name is Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, and you gave him to me in our league. Is it not Marion?
No, it's Michael Vick.
I lose. My guess is Michael.
I thought it was the fictional character in the 2013 Madden that when he comes on the scene, he has like a story to him that if you recruit him, like he blows up and is this incredible. You don't remember that from our league? Yeah. So you gave him to me. So it's a story character that shows up in the draft the year after.
Oh, yeah. So there's built into there are names that they've predetermined
will
have like a big season or something like that.
And he had a trajectory career. That's what I thought you were
referring to. No, this was a real player. This is
what
based
year
on a
was
real
that?
Player. This ooh, that's I want to go.
Does that have been back there, like 08 or something?
Yeah, let's see.
Before
all you gotta do is Google.
I'm trying.
All
right, so who won that game then?
Carter and I won, so we have to have a trivia off. Carter, go.
Oh, I have to beat you at
2004.
Yeah. Actually, here's what we'll do because clearly Doppel 8000 has really good trivia. You ask us both a question, Doppel. And one of us has to get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Go for it.
Any question? Anything?
Game related. Don't ask us what you have for breakfast.
I would.
I had shakshuka.
What was it?
I had shakshuka.
Shakshuka.
And it was Madden 2004. Right. In case anybody didn't hear and they cared, nobody cares.
I did. I wanted to know.
I did.
Some people
care.
Right,
I'm gonna answer some really obscure ones. Okay, here we go. What game on the PlayStation 1 had
a lot of drum beats?
And fast-paced drum and bass music.
What was the question?
No.
Ah, dang
it. What game on the PlayStation 1 had a soundtrack that was completely drum and bass?
Completely drum-based? On the PlayStation?
Like drum and bass. Like he was
no guitar, no vocals, but it was a do-do-do-do-do-do, and it's...
Yeah. You said it before. I will tell you that you said it before.
We've said it before today or in our lives?
You said it before in this podcast.
This episode or just in this podcast in our lives?
Ape Escape.
Yes.
Yeah. I win, Carter. Press the button. Press the button.
That's right.
No, the other one. The one. The suck it. No, the suck it. You're so bad.
Oh, I see.
I hit you with my car. I'm a millennial.
Not that one. Come on.
What I do? I can't.
What is this, amateur hour?
I have that one.
What is this, amateur hour?
Why did I move the suck it, Tyler? Oh, right here.
Suck it, Tyler, because you are so bad.
You edited it so there's no Tyler. It just says suck it. You
suck it, Tyler, because you are so bad.
You made a new one. You made a new one. Anyway, thanks for playing, guys. We'll ask. We normally let you ask us a question, but since you lost, I'm going to let you ask a question anyway. What questions do you have, Carter? You may go first.
Do you want to go first?
No, Carter, go first.
That's his question.
Carter goes first.
That's his question.
Okay.
That counts.
Carter, you lost, so you go first.
Yeah, but that counted as his question.
Yeah,
so
you're right. You're right.
If he comes back and plays again and wins, he's now is it negative a question.
Uh, Somebody told me I haven't been doing this enough. Can you still hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
All of my questions are all pretty much music related. So.
You have a question for Justin and I, or just a music related question?
Did Jimmy turn you on to the show?
I do have. You can ask me a question. For Justin and you. Yes.
Yes,
it's a trivia question.
No, not a trivia. We already did that. I don't think you understand the spirit of what's happening right now. This is your time to shine. What would you?
Suck it, Tyler, because you are so bad.
What would you? How would you like to get personal with us? You want to ask a personal question or share a personal memory or give us your personal social security number?
Part of my life. So I love Sly, and his voice acting is amazing.
That's very kind of you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Voicing Sly.
You're welcome.
Highest of five, Justin, is the reason why I succeeded.
That's true.
Can you do the pirate accent?
From Sly 3? It was just my pirate impression. I don't remember it being a particular thing. What are you playing over there?
You're doing some production.
Stop editing.
Because you are so bad. Suck it because you are so bad.
You were actively editing a drop.
Yeah. Is this not the time for that?
Probably not. Oh. Arr, please stop editing a drop. Tis be hurting me ears.
That's good
amazing.
Stuff.
Amazing.
Thank you.
He said amazing.
Kind of hurt my ears.
You're welcome, Carter.
You are so bad.
There you go.
Carter, what is your question?
My question is, how long do you guys think you're going to do this podcast? And, like, where do you see it going?
Wow. Why would you ask that question?
Is this a job interview?
Because I'm a podcast fan. I like podcasts a lot.
That's cool.
And I want to know if you guys plan on getting, like, more professional. No offense.
Oh, unpack that statement. What would being more professional look like?
Do you know that we're in an $8,000 self-constructed custom studio
with a rock wall?
That's cool. That's really cool. But a lot of other podcasts are under like bigger networks, or they have a lot more sponsors in the. They have like an ad segment, and I was wondering if you're planning on going that direction or keeping it more independent.
We're in a network currently, aren't we? Is it not a very noticeable network? We also have ads in the show if you download it.
Yeah, but they suck.
Wow. You have a lot of opinions.
Taking
a lot of hits.
What network should we be in?
Max Fun or like something like that.
Do you recognize Max Fun?
I know Max Fun, but I don't think he quite understands the brand of this show versus the brand of Max Fun.
And what is Max Fun up
for? I mean, no, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. You're not really a Max Fun show, but I'm just wondering if you're going that direction or not.
We would love to be...
My tenders.
We would love to be more professional, or as I would call it, more successful. I think that's what you're describing.
We have drops.
Yeah.
What show at Max Fun Con has drops?
We have live editing. Right. On the show,
guys.
We take callers. We talk to high-profile guests like yourselves. We would. If your question is, we have no plans currently to discontinue the podcast. We took a 3-year retirement and then we came out of retirement, but we're both enjoying it and have found a way to make this work within our daily routine. So it's not going anywhere. As for it hitting the moon and back, that's always been the hope. But the reality is there's literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there. Getting people to pay attention to our little voices in the wind is difficult.
Yeah. And I've been doing, Kevin and I started the podcast together. I've had other shows. I've tried multiple business models. And the only one that seems to fit for me, and it's the one that I have yet to try, is a premium only model, like where if we were really going to be like, let's try and figure out a way to make this pay our bills. I feel like we would have to get the audience up much higher, and then we would have to get to a point where we go, okay, here's 20 minutes of the show for free. If you want more, then you can buy it in seasons, or you pay this monthly fee. And then that's how you get the full content.
So you two, since you posed the question, are going to be 100% of our market research. Would you go with that model? What you decide right now is the future of the podcast. So tell us.
Would I go with a model where I have to pay for most of the content?
Yes.
Yes. And if the answer is
personally,
yes, How much would you pay?
No, it's not personally. It's you. You're 100. You are 50% of our market research. Whatever you say is half of what we're going to do.
I would pay as long as it wasn't, you know, crazy.
What's crazy?
But I also have a job.
$500? Is that crazy?
$500 an episode?
A minute.
Yeah. We're not crazy.
Yeah, I'd pay $500 per episode. That sounds right. Pretty normal.
Okay. Oh,
guess what, guys?
That's 50% of our market research. Carter, what do you say?
I'm pretty sure Carter could have his very own podcast, it sounds like. Based on the money we're making from sponsors.
I want to have this show, guys.
I mean, you could even share it with your friends. I don't care, but
that right? Yeah,
sounds like you just bought yourself a podcast there. Easy there, Ted Turner.
Check is in the mail.
Why don't you climb up off of Jane Fonda and come on over here and pick up a show?
Your references are so on point, Carter. What do you say? Study. We lost Carter.
I am Carter.
Oh, we lost. Doppel 8,000.
I was waiting for you to make that connection yourself, but you know.
You guys sound identical. Let's be honest.
It's okay.
I'm pretty sure you're one caller.
Hi.
Doing two voices.
I'm on two phones.
Personally, I think the podcast, from what I've seen so far, is, I mean, you know, I like a good, you know, sort of chilled out podcast, something you can listen to, laugh along with, nothing too serious. I mean, you don't have to make a pay model. I mean, I can see you guys just doing this for fun, and that's how it works. And
yeah, that's.
I think that's the best way to go about it.
Part of the reason for me personally that I started to do it again is because I was doing two podcasts. I was working on the road, and then I came back off the road, and I was getting into radio, and then that was sucking up a bunch of time. And Kevin and I both had families then at that point. That made it very difficult, I think, for at least me. And then the reason I started going back to it is because I was like, I think I would rather do this rather than work in radio. I would rather do this and see if I can't build it into something. But it's still for me at this point, it's a fun thing I like to do with my friend. Like that's the impression that
that's
I
me
have.
Or is that Doppel? Is that Doppel or is that me?
No, you're my friend.
Okay,
I don't really know Roland at all.
Okay, he's a nice guy. So, Carter, I dub the Brandvangelist number one for us. Yeah, you're our Brandvangelist, because that's really how this stuff blows up. And if you have if you share the vision that we do, that we would be more professional, a.k.a. more successful, then it comes to fans to be ravenous and to let everybody in their social media networks know that if they don't listen to the show, some puppy's going to die somewhere. Because that's what gets things going. Because we can only be so much. You can't, when you self-market, people go, oh, yeah, of course you think you're good. But if somebody that's listening to it is like, no, seriously, these guys are great and they deserve to be more professional, then people are going to be like, yeah, I want to professionalize them.
So can I ask Carter one more question?
Yes, please. No, this is your show.
Not really. My question is to Carter is that what do you think would make us more professional? Did he answer this?
He did answer that. He said it was more successful.
More sponsors, really what he's trying
to say. More sponsors, bigger network.
But not about a bigger audience, per se.
So I don't really have an exact vision. I kind of wanted to just get you guys talking, and I did.
Are you tracing this
about
call?
What your vision was? Yeah, I'm trying to track your voices. No, I just mean like I don't have a vision for the show. But I wanted to know about what yours was.
I don't give a to them.
I feel like you're taking psychology classes and you've just totally mind screwed me.
Yeah, I feel.
Me?
Yeah.
No, the other guy talking.
I don't understand what you mean.
That wasn't a drop. That was me saying that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for getting us talking on our podcast.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I just want to know, is in your opinion, Carter, is there an area where we should improve?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if I have the arrogance to say that to two guys who have been doing it that long.
Well, we take feedback. We are so humble that we take even humble feedback. Go for it.
I think that I joked about it earlier, but the ads, I think it is more engaging for a listener to me if you guys read spots rather than play ads, because I think most people just want to skip those. At least people I know, which is, you know, a few. But like, I think it's fun. A lot of other shows do it where they have sponsors and they read like the, what do you call it? The thing that they send you.
It's called the live read in the business. It's called ad copy. Yeah.
You're going right into the wheelhouse.
What I will tell you.
That's the word I'm looking for.
What I will tell you is that in order to achieve that, anybody that you're listening, although my dad podcast, I have live reads on there for sponsors that have come up. For the network that we are currently on, the minimum requirement, I would say this is pretty standard, is that you need to have about 10,000 listeners per episode in order to qualify for a business to be like, we want them to read our ads live, because they come with a higher price point as well. So if you are hearing a podcast host read a commercial, that customer or that company, no, they're not doing great. Trust me. Trust me. I'm a guy who has live reads. And even if you've got 10,000 people listening to your show, it's not enough to pay your bills. Now, once you start getting into maybe the 50 to 100,000 listeners, and depending on where you live, there's a strong chance you could pay your bills. That's my assessment of the business
model. I like the idea of us doing some live reads. That could be fun.
We can make them up.
We have at the end of every show. But I think we could find somebody that would be interested in us speaking and talking about them and doing live reads.
One last question for Carter. If there was one thing that we should improve... Did I ask him this already?
You literally just asked that question.
I did ask him that.
You asked me one more thing.
That was literally...
What was the thing I wanted to ask him?
I don't know.
Oh, I messed up.
It's literally what you just asked.
Oh, jeez.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right. Well, I'll think of it later on, Carter, and then I'll just announce it.
Or just pull it back into Discord. Thanks for playing Stump with us.
Thank you for having us again.
Thank you for having us, yes.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, my God. That Carter with his questions. Jeez, that guy drilling us.
I think he's still in the chat room.
Huh?
I think he's still here.
Hey.
Oh. What's up, Carter?
Good job.
I think they're both still here.
Oh, God. I can't get rid of Carter. Even Roland was driving me up a wall.
You can't just hit the hang up button and that disconnects them. That's a sound effect.
No, let's watch it. See? No,
that's a sound effect.
Yeah, and I hung up on him. No. Roland's gone. He can't hear us. Oh, Roland left on his own to ruin my stupid bit.
He's a good listener.
Oh, JP8000. Tell me when there's a storm coming, you jerk.
We should do live reads for Discord. Get them on the phone!
Tales from Tyrion coming up next. Hey, guys. Funny thing happened. Carter just mentioned the word of doing commercials live, and suddenly we have stumbled upon a sponsor. Kevin and I want to tell you about this fantastic group of people, Sunbaskets. You know, you've heard about the meal delivery services, Kevin. You've heard what you could do is they pre-measure the ingredients.
Yeah, they make it easy for you.
Yeah, they make it easy for you. You get a recipe book and everything. And all that's well and good, but we don't need another one. But this is different from all of those because the food that comes from Sunbaskets is all sustainably farmed.
Yeah.
It's all organic.
Really?
You get pasture-raised eggs, non-GMO tofu, sustainably sourced fish, responsibly raised meat. So you're going to get your grass-fed beef the way your nutritionist wants you to have. And here's the thing. It's not just you pick your things that you want to have come, right? You get to pick your menu items, but they got special predetermined menu plans. You could go paleo, you could go lean and clean, gluten-free, vegan,
vegetarian.
That's
the caveman one, right?
Yes, paleo. Yeah. Anything that needs processing, not paleo. But if it grows and you could find it naturally in the world and just use it that way, that fits into your paleo world. I just came off an incredibly strict diet. All of the meals that I got from Sunbaskets, totally fine in my diet. They've got Mediterranean options. If you have kids, they have organic, healthy, kid-friendly menus that you can pull from and cook with your kids. Adding to the kids thing, they have a little bottom square in the right-hand corner. You can it says, what can the kids do? And that's how they help you.
Ah, nice.
They get to help you. And I have learned that you can get a kid to eat more food if they participate in the cooking.
Wow.
Have you experienced that in your household?
I have, yeah. My kids love eating food that we make, especially cake. So that's that's really easy to do.
That's really easy to get them on board with.
What I like about Sunbasket is that they also have their own ingredients and stuff and their own recipes and things. They have their own house-made sauces that you can't find anywhere else.
And one of the nice bonuses about doing this is that you learn about cooking. Mm-hmm. Like, let me give you this little tip,
which
Kevin.
Is better than cake.
Yes. And, well, unless you're baking your own cake.
That's fair.
Then you can have your cake and eat it, too.
So you
cook in a pan. Like, you get in a pan, you cook some steaks, right? Yeah. And then you get some kale or you get some chard or you can even get some spinach. And you take your steak out. You let it rest on a plate. You bring that spinach in. You hit it with a little salt, a little pepper, even a little lemon. And you wilt it is what they call it. And it's called fonding. I've learned this from fonding. And what it does is that cleans your pan for you. And it gets all that gristle and fat and juicy goodness. And it works it into your veggies. You throw a little salt and pepper, some lemon, like I said. And it's a beautiful side dish.
But this takes like 4 hours, right?
No.
You have to do it. It's like an all-day experience.
No.
You have to turn off the TV. And this is all you're doing.
Here's the thing. On average, a Sunbasket meal can fall anywhere from 25 to 45 minutes. That's from opening the box to hitting the plate right there. Now, if you want to enjoy this, here's where it gets a little tricky. We need you to go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. Mm. Now, I know that's not the podcast you're listening to,
right?
But it's a sudden sponsor that just showed up on this show. So we're working out the kinks.
It was really good.
Yeah. sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. And what you do, you don't just go to the URL and start ordering food. You get $35 off your first order because you know Justin and Kevin, who are associated with the Dad Podcast.
I am a dad and I podcast.
Right? So sunbaskets.com/dadpodcast, $35 off your first order. Go there now. I've looked at you. You got a little rock and roll on that one.
Oh, yeah. I grabbed the mic. Yeah. It was good.
You got a little Ozzy Osbourne crazy train there.
I was trying not to black out that time.
That's hard to do.
Oh, it was really good.
There was a lot of red-faced Kevin Miller going on that one.
It's a good thing we
hope you got full enjoyment on that. If you came in at a 7, you should be at a full 9 right now with enjoyment level.
9.5. Exciting things are happening for Karina North and the North family within the world of Guild Wars. We are between episodes and content. There's a little bit of a dip, so it's allowed me to explore some of the greater content that's come out since the newest release, and I've been spending a lot of time cleaning up maps, that is, going around grabbing points of interest and map locations and grabbing all the little icons and the champion points that you can get. And I hit 100% map completion on one of these new maps for Path of Fire are enormous. They're like twice or three times the size of the core game's maps. They're enormous.
Just because I want to make sure I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Path of Fire is still the current latest episode that you were
on. That is the most recent expansion. That was a expansion.
So it's not the episode. Episodes exist within the expansion.
Yeah, so after you buy an expansion, then they release every 6 weeks, 2 to 3 months. They released a new map within that expansion. And as long as you log in during like a 3-4 week window, you get that map for free. But if you walk away from the game for a little while and come back and didn't log in, then you have to buy it later. There's a little extra. But if all you have to do is log in.
That's it. You just got to show up.
You just got to be
check
there.
Your email.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Show up and get to play. And then if you miss it, because it's a little continuation of the story. It's a way of like, you know, a lot of games create DLC that's really just part of the game that they didn't bother to do. That's not what they do. This is actually real content that is, when you do it, you're like, oh, this wasn't missing. This is real DLC. that's completely free. So did that. And then I have these mastery points that once you hit level 80 with any character, they then share globally these mastery points that take a lot of time to accrue. And then you spend mastery points by accruing points. And so right now, Karina and company have been 198 out of like almost 300 points. It's very difficult.
Sounds like you're about two-thirds of the way there.
Yeah. That math adds up. It takes a while to get one or two, and sometimes I've hit in railroads where I had the experience but didn't have a point, and I couldn't spend the points because I didn't have the, or vice versa. But I, off my bucket list, did an original campaign event called Triple Trouble, in which three teams on the same map all must attack this multi-headed worm that sprouts up from the earth below and coordinate. You can see all three battles happening simultaneously with like a health meter off to the side, and they all have to die within 1 minute of each other. So you as a team, and they each have a very specific way to be defeated. One requires this, what I did, requires this running back and forth of grabbing barrels and blowing it up at the right time. Other ones have other things that you have to do.
Does it regenerate?
It will, or you just lose. Everybody just loses together.
No, I mean, like, is it, like, if, so let's say one war gets it down to where it's almost dead, do they just stop and it'll just sit there and they could dodge attacks, or does it start to regenerate where they got to start fighting
back
down?
No, it'll stay there, because the idea is, like, you might accidentally push it over the edge. So it just sits there at 10% or 5%, and the other, so you could get trolls on the map that are like, I'm just here to mess it up, and they'll try to like break that event or topple it so everybody loses. And you're talking about hundreds of people that have come in to get this thing. So by doing that, not only was it was like there was a briefing. We probably spent 5 minutes where the commander was giving instructions on here's what to do and how to do it and the order that we'll need to do it, commands I'm going to be yelling out and what to do, and then ended with, if you get lost, just follow me.
I was Leroy like, Jenkins.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is the beauty of the game, that it encourages people to work together. That's always been the mark of Guild Wars 2, is that a lot of MMORPGs have people compete against each other to play the game. Like, you both show up, you both need this particular boss to spawn in an area to get the kill. And so you either have to take turns, or someone will come in and get the kill ahead of you, and then they get the gear, and then you have to sit around waiting for the boss to respawn. Guild Wars 2 does none of that. Instead, they encourage players to work together. The more people participating, the better the event is, the bigger the loot, the bigger the prizes. If people leave, the event naturally scales on its own so that it doesn't maintain at a level for 200 players if there's only 20 around.
As far as difficulty.
Exactly, yeah. But these map meta events is what it calls, just take everybody involved to do stuff. So people are recruiting people on the map. Hey, if you're just hanging out, you need to come help us with this event, do this thing. And so we go on, and I got that necessary core mastery point. So now Karina is level 201 mastery points. So
what?
Broke the 200.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Join Planet Pluto by, that's the name of our guild,
okay,
by sending me an in-game message to Karina North, C-O-R-I-N-A-N-O-R.
So one R in that Karina.
That one I in that Karina.
Non-traditional spelling.
Is there a traditional spelling?
It's two R's. I didn't want to, I'm not here.
There's two R's, really?
In Karina, I think.
Interesting. That seems wrong.
Let's see.
So the fun part about it, hey, there's your family. The fun part about it being Pluto is the name of my guild, because that's the name of my brand new computer.
I do drops with a mouth too.
Oh, that needs to be a drop. I hope I didn't step on that.
What?
That needs to be where you at? Da 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 da. I do mouth with my drop too. That was good.
Karina, the name is, two R's from the film, Karina. But when I started to type it in, you could find chicks with just...
Corina. Otherwise, it'd be Corina.
Female given name from a Romanian or German origin.
Both. She is neither and both.
Oh, boy.
is half the battle.
If you've been listening this year, you know I recently had to, I was forced to upgrade to a Dell touchscreen. But if you've been following my Twitch streams, you know that my desktop computer that I built with my own bare hands died. One of our moderators in the Discord, Zane, has been helping me think through a new machine. The motherboard on my old machine just wasn't working anymore.
Did you have a backup?
The drives are fine.
Okay.
The computer itself was just on its last leg. So literally, if I plugged in anything other than the mouse and keyboard, it would have a hard time. it couldn't. It got to the point where I was chasing USBs. If I plugged in plugged in a third or fourth thing, it would push something
off. Like a circuit breaker?
Yeah. It was like, no, now you can't type. I'm like, well, that's not going to work.
Now you can't type.
So I gave up and upgraded. So if you know anything about PC building, if you decide to upgrade the motherboard, you're pretty much starting all over again. So I have a new core processor, a new fan, a new RAM, all of that kind of stuff. So I had a buddy come over to help me because I didn't want to build it with my bare hands again. I have a friend who has a son that's a teenager, and he built the whole thing. He just sat across from me with his dad and just assembled it. Hand all the thirds.
From my cold, dead hand. There.
and he would give us like updates, like, oh, bad news, this particular fan doesn't work with this AMD processor.
How old is this kid?
15. Yeah.
He
knew his stuff inside and out. So now I have a very beautiful, it's amazing what you get used to, like a frog in boiling water. Like, I didn't realize, you never heard that expression, frog in boiling water?
Oh, now I get it.
Have you heard the expression?
Yes.
Why were you confused?
Because I thought it was a computer term that I didn't know.
No, welcome back. So there were so many things that were dead about the machine. There, like, every now and then a DOS window would just show up and say system fails, and then go away. It didn't matter what I was doing. It just wouldn't work. This USB thing wasn't working. Sometimes you turn it on and the keyboard wouldn't work.
Yeah, but that's just fun.
That's just part of it.
Computer ownership.
I have a smaller solid state drive to house the OS. It's 256. There were, last count before I did the reformat, 7 gigs available. There were probably 100 apps running in the background. Just, you know, after years of running a machine, you just install something and then you just forget about it and it's running in the background doing its thing. So now to have this new machine, you have that experience.
I'm the app that opens DOS windows.
Yeah. Close. Why? And, you know, when I built the machine, it was Windows 7. Since then, we've had Windows 8, 8.1, and 10.
Yep.
All of those.
Nine.
No, you skipped 9.
Yeah.
Who makes, when Apple did it with their phones. There is no Windows. There's no iPhone 9.
I'm pretty sure 7 eats it.
Yeah. That's why. Oh, that's funny.
What?
7, 8, 9. That's why there's no Windows or iPhone 9. Yeah. You're really good at this. You should re-live copy.
Only I could make this more professional.
So, every time I had one of those upgrades happen, I would have to do something in the machine to get around some stupid new thing that Windows came out with. Starting with a fresh install, starting with a fresh machine. The only thing it cost me had to pay a little more to get my Microsoft Office on the computer. And it's moving day, so we're back to like square one with a lot of stuff. But it's real, and the drives are all the same.
It's moving day.
Like, you have to move in. You have to put all the software back on the thing, all the apps that you're using.
Today is moving day?
It's been moving weekend. I've been moving this whole weekend. So I don't know if I'll Twitch from that machine tomorrow night when we're back in front of the Twitch cam. I still don't have a webcam on my desktop. I might still use the laptop, but then maybe next week we might get a webcam and then go straight to this new machine. I have a 980.
So you haven't even really, I mean, you fired it up and know that everything works, but...
I play Guild Wars on it. That's how I did that.
How is it?
It's really nice. There's not a noticeable improvement in terms of quality of gameplay because I already had a pretty nice GPU. It's just a more stable machine.
There's no DOS windows opening up. Exactly. You're trying to kill a three-headed worm.
Yeah, yeah. This worm is intense.
I bet.
You don't want
three heads.
You don't need a DOS window.
I mean, I've seen a two-headed worm, but I'm pretty sure that I don't know which end's the butt. But I'm still saying, if I saw three of those, I'd be just as confused.
You are on fire. You had me. So what new computer are you getting?
I'm getting an Apple MacBook. So it won't be nearly as cool. It won't be, it'll be more business oriented.
Why Apple? Tell me about that. Why would you want that?
Well, therapist Kevin.
Yes.
It's because I like it. I like that it easily integrates into my phone.
Yeah.
I like, here's the
is
other.
Is that important to you?
It is important to me.
Integration with your phone.
Yes. Hmm. I think it's a key feature. And I think the biggest reason, in my opinion.
That's why I'm asking.
I wonder why I didn't see that. You've helped me a lot to see a lot today.
That'll be $95.
Wow. You've helped me see even more.
Please see the receptionist.
I'm sorry?
That's our
How about you charge $65 and ditch the chick?
That's our tie.
So here's the thing. I paid, I think it was like $2,000 when I bought this.
Yeah.
When my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then.
You paid $2,000 for that?
Yeah. And then.
You paid $2,000 for a laptop.
Yes.
In 2008?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That is a lot of money.
Yes, laptops are, Apple laptops are expensive.
You could have bought a car. Mm. You know I'm right. You wouldn't have wanted to drive it, but no, you could have bought a
car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. I could have bought a drug dealer for that amount of money. I wouldn't want
it. You could have bought a podcast.
I could have. A professional one, yeah. It sounds like. But no, I bought this, and the only thing I've done is I added a new hard drive, which I think ran me about $300.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a new battery that was about $100, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I put $400 into it, and I have taken it and had zero issues really with it, except now that the hardware is impossible to use with the new operating system, and now everything is dating out. So I will have had this thing almost for 10 years and spent $2,500 on it. And to me, I feel like I like that better.
What's that per year?
Than the standard that is $250 per year.
That math adds up.
And I feel like that's better than, because I always felt like when I had a PC laptop, I had to get a new one every 2 years.
Ah, because you're dealing with laptops. Yeah, that's fair. I've in 10 years I've owned, not counting the one I had to return, I've had two laptops. And they were roughly $1,000 to $1,200 each. So yeah, I'm on board. I get that.
Yeah.
That you did one long run as opposed to two shorter hops.
And everything that I do when I got this laptop, like the GarageBand and the podcast, yeah, it was all integrated into it. I didn't have to buy additional software.
That was nice.
Now,
That Apple does offer a lot of those suites.
What I did end up having to do was buy, when I made my album, I realized that I couldn't produce my album and have it sound good on GarageBand because it does this auto normalization. So if you set the level at a decent level, it normalizes it to a lower level than is audible.
I remember that. Yeah.
We used to have that issue with the podcast. And so I ended up, just before they released the Creative Suite for Adobe Audition, I bought the last Adobe Audition 5. And so I paid like $260 for it. And that's what I use for this podcast, all my voiceover stuff and my subsequent album.
Follow up question.
Yep.
Do you need Microsoft Office?
No.
Because I have 5 installs and I'm only using 2.
I'm sorry.
I get it for a year.
So I don't.
Let me know if you would like.
No.
Excel
I got the Exchange from my employer. And I'm losing one from my old employer.
I'm telling you, it's Excel spreadsheets.
But I've got Office already built in here.
Word.
Yes, and the Apple integrates with all. I can export everything as an Excel or a Word doc.
Are we still doing a live read?
Yeah.
It's really good for Apple.
Sunbaskets.com.
/get a PC. I just have a hard time paying $2,000 for a name brand. But you are selling some of the hardware components that you don't often hear Apple.
Yeah, to me, I think that the reason why this is why it was is that I realized that the desktop computers that we had in elementary school lasted 10 years after I left that elementary school and they were working just as good.
That's a terrible example. Schools don't get anything unless it's free anyway.
Right.
It's the same thing with churches. I'm running a 2008 desktop computer in my lobby of my building. That's not because they're amazing. It's because it's the last computer somebody gave us for free.
I'm not arguing that point. My point is that how long ago did you build that laptop?
From my cold, dead hand.
Or that computer, I mean.
2012. Was
2012.
The last, but here's the deal. So point for point, this is where I think I've got you beat desktop-wise, because I can leapfrog pieces of technology and keep the cost very low. This is what I was explaining to my wife of why this is a better than going and buying a $2,000, $3,000 desktop machine. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a car. I have the same tower.
You can piece it out. Yeah.
I have this. That's $100. I didn't have to pay for that. I have 3 drives. That would have, in a new machine, that would have brought the price up another $600 to $700. That I don't have to deal with that cost. I got a graphics card for free. It was a gift. Mm-hmm. That's a $300 component right there.
So, but I like the idea that I don't think I'm paying the $2,000. I'm sure I am, but I feel like I'm not paying the $2,000 for an Apple name. I'm paying it for hardware that will last a decade.
I agree for the laptop. If you were going desktop, I think I'd fight you.
I don't know if a desktop, an Apple desktop would last as long.
I think the Apple desktops turn over. They want you to buy those just as much as they want you to buy a new iPhone every year.
Boo.
I think that's how they're built.
Boo on that. That's what I say to that.
Yes, and so furthermore.
Oh, Fortnite. I might get that game.
It's free. What are you talking? It's free right now. Yeah. We can go out of this room and go play Fortnite right now. That it would not be hard.
How similar is Guild Wars 2 to Fortnite?
I have not played Fortnite.
Tune in next week for Tales from Fortnite-ia, where Justin tries to convince Kevin to play Fortnite.
I'll do it. I'll do it before you.
That's also very true. A lot of truth spitting.
I didn't even tell you about how my son has finally discovered Skylanders, and it's the best life of my life. I'm so happy.
So the whole family's getting in on
it. We're there. My tower of Skylanders is finally bringing
joy. It's getting put to use?
Yes. Well, it was always getting put to use. Now the kids are playing.
Yes. There was a part of me that I think it was actually one of my kids that mentioned it when they were talking about getting like the Lego Dimension or something. I go, you got a drawer full of Skylanders. Yeah. I go, what are you going to do? And then I what are you going to do with those? They go, we can give them to Kevin. I said, Kevin has them all. And then I can't remember who said, but one of them said, yeah, but Quinn can play with these.
Yeah, it's true. He would like that. He does not like that he doesn't get to. We're collecting minis.
I don't know
now.
How you would differentiate them.
Oh, he would be in a box off to the side.
Well, it comes with a bag.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
all right.
It's already in a duffel bag.
His birthday's in September.
A duffel bag!
Hundreds of dollars of stuff.
All right, don't forget to catch Kevin on his Twitch, possibly with his new computer, maybe not. Don't get your hopes up.
Not this one.
But it's twitch.tv/TheKevinMiller, right?
Nailed it.
Oh, God, I'm good at this.
So good.
If you want to join the Discord, here's what you hear at the Discord. Not only do you hear us plan bits, like doing live reads, but you also just hear banter. Banter in between. Yeah. Me searching for songs to play as bumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Why miss that when you could tune in live at mixlr.com/gamerland and get in on the conversation? Go to bit.ly/gamerland/discord. Yep. There are two D's in that sucker.
And if you're hungry, you should go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast.
$35
right now.
Off your first order. I mean, it does not get better than that.
Seriously, if 100 people did that right now, we would have live reads all the time. If you enjoyed today's live read, order this. Spend $35 on sunbasket.com/dadpodcast. Instead of sending us $35, buy this.
Yeah.
Tell 10 people to do that, and then you'll get to hear us do live reads all the time.
And then tune in next week when Kevin also exposes the seedy underbelly of commercialism in a perfect way. I really nailed it. Really nailed it. Really.
What did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, good. I did it all right.
You did it all. Well, at least, I don't know. Maybe I'm hearing what I want to hear. Maybe your mouth turned into a Rorschach. And I heard everything that I think is wrong with doing commercials.
I am teaching a workshop seminar on commercials.
Yep.
So if you want to discover the CD underbelly and the CD top belly of commercials, join me on Twitch.
This bit will never get old.
Sunbasket.com/dadpodcast.
Okay, bye.